Let's share the message from God this morning. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And then Jesus said, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, the sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with the shepherd's voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about, so he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate to the sheep. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for and will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself and sacrifices himself if necessary. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in the pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock and one shepherd.
Hey, you there. Why are you reading all those religious words so loudly? Don't you know it hurts my ears? Can't you keep that stuff quiet?
Well, I can't do that. I'm reading from the good book, and I'm excited about this message from the Creator God in Jesus. Hey, if I stop now, the rocks will cry.
The rocks will cry out. Have you ever heard of that?
Maybe God's speaking.
Oh, now rocks, now God's speaking, huh?
The good shepherd, the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of Jesus.
Voices, moises. I mean, what voices do you listen to? I've got my, you know, right here. All these voices, voicemail, whatever, you know. Do you listen to Hillary, or do you listen to Donald, or do you listen to Hannity, or do you listen to Chris? I mean, you know, who do you listen to? And you're some religious crazy lady, just like Joan of Arc, right? God speaking? Well, anyway, what is your name?
My name is Sylvia Valet.
Sylvia Valet. Well, it's nice to meet you. And what are you doing here?
Well, I open this beautiful gate to the home of the Good Shepherd to all who will hear from him.
Oh, my name is Joe. Joe Foundling. That's found plus ling, and the ling is not Chinese.
Joe Foundling? What kind of name is Foundling?
Oh, Foundling is a very common surname all over the world. It really represents those who've lost their parents or were cast off by their parents, or it's sometimes called baby dumping. And, you know, so there are a lot of us around the world, Sylvia.
Well, I never heard of one.
You never heard of one? Well, one of the most famous authors of 20th century, the last century, was a foundling. And he wrote The Hobbit, and he wrote The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but his name is Tolkien. It's not Hobbit.
Oh, well, he still is in the foundling tradition. I mean, his father died when he was 4. His mother and his 2 brother and he were living in England. His father was still in South Africa, and his father died there and was buried there. And then when he was 12, his mother died, and he was raised, he and his brother were raised, by a Roman Catholic priest. He was a foundling.
Well, I still never met one here in America.
Oh, come on now. You haven't read your history books. Did you ever hear of the orphan trains? Maybe not. 200,000 or more of these orphans were sent from the east to the west, and any family could take one in, and they could help on the farm or in the shop or in the factory or whatever, and they would take care of them, but never adopted as part of the family.
Oh, Joe, that's so sad. That would never happen here. An orphan would be taken right in, would find love and care, and become part of a family right away.
Oh, wow. That's kind of amazing, you know, because you look at all the treatment that foundlings get around the world, you know, even the young ones, forced labor, sex trade, they see their parents die of AIDS or famine, of war. They're treated pretty badly, not like what you're talking about.
Oh, that's so sad, Joe. Why don't you sit down and rest and maybe have a glass of water? Where are you from, Joe?
Oh, Sylvie, I'm from everywhere. I've been looking everywhere for my parents and everywhere for our family. And I've been looking for a home, too. But, you know, I never found them, and everything's right here in my bags. I take everything here. It's all my stuff. You know, there's some people who fill up their house with stuff, fill up their garage with stuff, fill up their trailer with stuff, fill up their storage room with stuff. But I'm very efficient. You know, I've got all my stuff right here.
But you're still lost and would really like to find a home.
Oh, that's what, yeah, my heart says that's what I need. Oh, let me tell you a little bit about my search. You know, I never found my parents. I never even remember them. They gave me up to the county. Oh, they just cast me off and, excuse me, and so they placed me with my aunt. Well, I've got a picture of her right here in my stuff. And this is when she was older and just before she passed away. And you can see how kind she was. What a lovely person she was.
Beautiful and peaceful.
She was wonderful to me. What a saint. But I was trouble all the way. She didn't deserve it, and I was so sorry. And looking back, I felt so unworthy of all her love and care. And, you know, I wish I could ask her forgiveness, but that's impossible. She's gone now.
Well, I know you have regrets, and we all have regrets, but the Good Shepherd can help take that away from you.
Oh, that sounds impossibly wonderful. But let me tell you more. One of those foster homes, after my aunt died, they placed me in foster homes. And you know, some are good and some are not so good. And in one of the ones that was good, I met a brother, my brother Tom. And yeah, I have his picture here I take with me. He was a wonderful guy. This is when he was in high school. He was on an athletic team there. And he became a cop. He got married. He had a family. And then I lost him. He was killed in line of duty. And my only family that I ever found was gone.
That's so sad. I'm so sorry that you lost your brother. You know, the Good Shepherd knows all about torture and pain. He suffered from all of that and injustice. He gave his life for the sheep.
Well, then what you're saying is this place, you're at the home of the Good Shepherd, is just a memorial to your Good Shepherd.
Well, in a way, but actually he's still alive eternally. And you don't look like you know what I mean, but when you're ready, I'll try to explain it to you. Oh. Won't you sit down and rest?
Yeah, that's wonderful. I appreciate the time. You know, I just bought my ticket at the Metrolink station over there and in Newhall and happened upon your place. So thanks for the rest. I don't have to leave quite yet. So, well, you know, Sylvia, tell me a little bit about this Good Shepherd. You know, I've never really heard about the Good Shepherd.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't, because the Good Shepherd told a story about a son who stole the family fortune, ran away, squandered it, and then he had regrets. So we all have regrets. So he decided that he wanted to go back home, and he was afraid that he would not be accepted. So he offered to go back home as a servant instead of a son. He thought maybe they would take him in that way. But the father, just like the Good Shepherd, forgave him, welcomed him home as a son.
Oh, I think I remember some Sunday school teacher way back when. I think it was Art Moore. Telling me that story. But I know what you're doing. I can see it now. You're trying to convince me that this Good Shepherd is just like this father who is all this fair and kindness. How do you know your Good Shepherd is not the finger-pointing kind?
Well, you're going to be surprised at this, but this is not a house of religion. There's no rules here, basically. There's just love and acceptance and no finger pointing.
Well, I can't believe that. You know, I was down the road at this other house, and I went into the house, and they said, oh, yeah, come in here in this house, and there's lots of God's blessings and peace and harmony and, by the way, prosperity. Now, you might look at me and say, well, you're not prosperous. Well, I didn't go in there.
You didn't go in?
Well, they wouldn't let me. They had somebody like you at the door, but they were really like a bouncer at a club. And, you know, I wasn't dressed right. And anyway, I'm getting hot in this. And they said I was dirty, not just outside, but inside. And I had to take an antiseptic shower and clean myself up before I could come in.
Well, that would never happen here. We love you just as you are.
Well, let me finish telling the story. You know, I didn't take the shower, and I didn't go in. And the reason is I could smell what they were all about. You're talking about religion and rules. They were all about rules. Oh, my gosh, you know, do not pick your nose in worship. Do not burp in worship. You know, and they had bigger rules than that. You know, and, you know, I just decided, well, you know, don't you know what I mean?
Well, in a way I do. We just assumed there'd be no nose picking here, but but actually, Joe, don't you find that rules can be, rules are necessary, certainly in some areas, but don't you find that rules can be very limiting and incomplete and not fit real life sometimes?
Yeah, and let me interrupt you. I'll tell you why I felt that way, because they were kind of this home that said, oh, you have to be happy in God all the time. And you know what they would do? And sometimes I feel depressed. You know, I think about my brother Tom, and I really sense that pain, and I get my massage ball, and I just take the pain away. And, you know, I could never say that to them. Because you know what they do? They'd say, oh, you broke one of God's rules, and the blessing stopped. You got to get back on the train and obey the rules, and God will bless you. Or they said, you don't have enough faith. Boy, would that make me feel even more guilty than my simple problems in these two bags.
Well, there's no need for you to feel guilty, because the Good Shepherd can take that away I know firsthand, believe it or not, I came in from out of the world just like you. Mm. I haven't always been devout.
Mm.
It's like the song so rightly said, I look for love in all the wrong places. I hurt people who love me.
You did? I can't believe that.
I even felt detached from life sometimes. But the Good Shepherd found me and brought me to this home. And here I found love and caring and comfort.
Wow, that's wonderful. So what you're telling me is you believe in this Good Shepherd and that's why you work here?
Well, first of all, I don't work here. I live here. And I have to say, this is going to surprise you, I don't believe in the Good Shepherd.
What? You don't?
No, this isn't a job. I live here. It's my home. I don't believe in the Good Shepherd. I know the Good Shepherd, and he knows me.
Oh, wow. Well, that's just wonderful.
The Good Shepherd can help you, help bring you ease and comfort.
So you're saying I can get help here? I mean, everywhere else you go, they say go to the couch with the counselor and the psychologist for help.
It's right here, Joe, right here. And like I say, there's no finger pointing. The good book tells us that the Good Shepherd takes in people who have distress, depression, hardships, physical ailments, the whole bit. But the Good Shepherd will help bring you comfort and ease.
Oh, my gosh. I've never really heard that, but, I'll just have to think about that. But, I think from all what you said, I'd like to meet this Good Shepherd. I mean, he's around here, right? The home of the Good Shepherd. You see, somehow he's living.
Well, yeah. What he wants with you is to build friendship. He wants you to get to know him. We know that everybody doesn't trust and believe right away, but if you'll just meet him and just come here and become part of the family, we'll take you in and right away and show you friendship and love.
So where is he? Did he go somewhere?
Well, I'm sorry, he's not here today. He's out with friends.
And where did they go?
Well, actually, they're out spreading the good word. And there again, the good book shows us that God, the Good Shepherd, can bring us ease and comfort and joy, healing. Just would try to work with you and build a relationship.
Oh, a relationship. I don't know. I've had so many relationships that fizzled out. But you're saying there's no rules. And what about this guilt thing that I found at this other house? Is that here too?
It gets taken away from you right in there. You're forgiven. We just like to build a relationship with you. That's the Good Shepherd. He wants a relationship with you.
A relationship.
And maybe after a short period of time, you'd say, hey, I'm glad I know you.
I'm glad I know you. Well, maybe that would come in a period of time. I just, I've had so many relationships that fizzled out and friendships that just kind of drifted away. And you say he isn't here now. He's somewhere else. I mean, are they out there? They're spreading this good news. Does anybody accept their invitation?
Some do. Some come in. They learn to trust. They learn to be grateful. They learn to accept the blessings that are in their life. Yes, some do. And they're the ones who build a relationship.
I bet you find some out there who think their lives are so peachy keen, they don't need any help from anybody, huh?
Yeah, you always have that element. Sometimes they're like these individuals who, think they can just take care of themselves and meet all situations without any help, live like rugged mountain men, and even fight grizzlies.
Yeah, I've met a few of those individuals in my life. You know, they think it's all under control and they can do everything. So you're saying for those of us who are not successful, people who have problems, is that what you're saying? Because, you know, in this American culture, you have to look successful, right? I mean, if you don't, there's a problem.
Well, that is a problem. But first of all, looks can really be deceiving. And almost everyone is looking for something. Hey, even people with apple pie and Chevrolets and boxes at Dodger Stadium, hey, they're looking for something. Nobody has it all together, not even the Tolkien you talked about.
Not even the Tolkien. Yeah, he lost both parents by the time he was 12. And, you know, he was raised by a Catholic priest and he was boarded out to some women who took care of him during the day. Yeah, this is almost impossible to believe. You know, I've got a train that I got to catch and somewhere I'm hearing a whistle in my mind. And, you know, this has been just a real gracious time to a diversion, perhaps, to see you, you know.
Well, let me give you a business card and for the home. And if there's anything at all that we can do to help you or if you just want to come talk, please contact us. We'll always be here. The gate will always be open for you. The family will still be here and take you in.
Oh, thank you very much. You've been wonderful, Sylvia. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know if I can do this. It's, you know, I've got a train to catch and I've got appointments in L.A. And you know how busy we all are in California, right?
Yeah, right. Every Californian I know, including me, is busy, 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 and it's exhausting. But we all need to take the time just a little bit.
Well, do you know how I got here? Here in front of your door?
I wondered about that. How did you get here?
Well, I saw this western bluebird over there. You know, they used to nest in my backyard when I had a backyard. And it was so gorgeous, you know, when they fly, the azure blue on the top of the wings in the back, and I just followed him, flying and flying and flying, and he ended up right here in front of your door. That's how I got here.
Well, that was God directing you, that's for sure, and at least you took time to follow the bluebird and appreciate its beauty. And we're glad you got here.
Okay, Sylvia. But don't tell me that was the voice of God, okay? Yeah, don't get religious on me now, you know, interpreting these things like that, okay? You know, I don't want you to, you know, I feel like some of the things you're doing are kind of pushing religion on me. And, you know, just be careful.
No, we would never try to push it on you. We want it to be your choice. We want you to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him into the home.
Well, Sylvia, I really must go. I appreciate the card. And take a last sip.
Would you like some more?
I'm fine, thank you. And I can get some more over there at the station. And thanks for letting me share part of my life with you, you know. We often don't get that chance. We're so busy in California, you know.
You must take time to follow the bluebird again, and we'll always be here waiting for you.
Okay, and, wow, this is an interesting business card. It says, the home of the Good Shepherd.
But
to contact the home, just pray and listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Bye.
Oh, Joe, please don't go. Please don't go. I came in from out of the world, and here I found love and comfort and friendship. Please come back to us. And the best part of it is, Joe, you will learn to love the Good Shepherd, and he will love you.